Hey everybody, welcome back to the show. Steve here, and before I start today's podcast, I just want to give my condolences and well wishes to anyone that was affected by the Bondi Westfield tragedy that occurred on Saturday afternoon. I was watching the end of the Warriors Manly game, which obviously, as you guys who watch rugby league know, it was a thrilling finish, and that news started to trickle in to the public as the end of that game was live. And you know, obviously it was hard to concentrate on the football. There's a lot of things that are more important than rugby league, as much as we all love the game. And obviously a big thing is people's lives, that, you know, what's more important than life. And I want to send my condolences to anyone that was affected by a loss or someone getting tragically injured in the disaster from a rogue attacker, terrorist, so to speak. Yeah, just massive condolences. It's truly a tragedy. Hopefully, this never happens again in Australia, and I don't think anyone shouldn't be able to go to a shopping centre and, you know, get the essentials and not feel safe doing so. So, my heart goes out to everybody. I don't know what goes through the mind of some of these people, but it's truly a tragedy, and let's hope this never happens in Australia again. Obviously, plenty of quality rugby league content on the show today, but as I said, there's things that are more important than the sport that we love, and that's obviously everybody's safety. So yeah, my condolences again. It's a tragedy, but hopefully society can grow from it. And yeah, I don't want this show to be a negative one, but I thought I should address it to start Steve's NRL footy tips this week. And all right, we'll move on now. And as I said at the start of the show, this is Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Welcome back to everybody that's listening. It's Steve's NRL Footy Tips for Round 7, and there's a massive show coming your way this week. There's another week of football in the books. Teams that are performing, teams that are still under pressure. The Titans still without a win to their name. Some real sides like the Cronulla Sharks and Canberra Raiders in particular that there wasn't a huge amount of expectation heading into season 2024, and I think they've over-delivered. So yeah, it's an exciting time of the year. Obviously, the ladder's still getting settled in terms of positions, and it's hard to really get a gauge each week of the teams that, you know, the teams that are up high on the ladder, like, you know, at the moment, if we look at the top four, Cronulla, Melbourne, Canberra, and the North Queensland Cowboys. Sides like those four teams, are they all real contenders for this premiership, or I guess are they placeholders in those positions until some of the real premiership heavyweights come in and make a run late, like, you know, the likes of Penrith and Brisbane, the Roosters and the Warriors and so forth. So, you know, it's definitely an interesting time of the year. And I had a disaster round 5, backed it up in round 6. I believe I got, I'm just looking through the tips. What did I tip there? We'll go through the round in a minute, but I believe I ended the round with 5 out of 8, so not bad. Something to build on for sure, and let's hope we can get a perfect round this week. Now, if we look back on round 6 of the Telstra Premiership, it all started on Thursday night. The Roosters, 22-20 victors over the Newcastle Knights. I tipped the Knights in this game, and, you know, I thought that with plenty of expectation in front of a home crowd and the fact that they're starting to hit form against an understrength Roosters side, this was a real opportunity for Newcastle to really build on what had been a couple of successful weeks for them and make a statement to the rest of the competition to say that, you know, we're capable of replicating 2023 and perhaps going better and being more consistent than that. That did not happen. The understrength Roosters really showed up in a big way in this game, and I thought the Knights were particularly poor in saying that. I thought Brandon Smith from the Roosters had a terrific game at a dummy half. I think the makeshift halfback combination of, you know, their leader in Keary teaming up with Connor Watson in the 5-8 position really worked well. Daniel Tupou and Joseph Manu had some brilliant games as well. And there's an argument, you know, is the Roosters really getting the best out of Manu at centre, or is he a better fullback than he is a centre? And you know, does that put a little bit of pressure on James Tedesco? Obviously, Tedesco is the captain of the side, the New South Wales captain, the Australian captain, so I don't see him moving anytime soon. But Manish just goes to another level in that fullback position, over 300, or close to 300 metres, I believe. No, it was over 347 metres by Manu in that position on Thursday night. I think it's the 6th most in NRL history. Some amazing stat lines there for Joseph Manu. But yeah, really good signs for the Roosters under strength. It shows you the desire that the team has to be back to being a premiership threat, and great to see the likes of Angus Crichton and Connor Watson really step up with the opportunity they've gotten, considering they've been in, you know, the outside of the 17 at points during the season so far. Young players like Terrell May really continuing his development as well, and you know, even the likes of Michael Jennings getting another opportunity in the NRL and celebrating his 300th game despite a obviously controversial career. But yeah, the Roosters, they're looking in really good shape. Big question marks over Newcastle, but definitely a big upset in the first game of the round. In the Friday night games, we saw the Storm survive a really late scare from the Canterbury Bulldogs, 16-14. Now, the Storm were kind of coasting in this game. They weren't playing great football, and the Bulldogs' determination defensively, like they've shown all year, really stepped up in this game. They were winning 10-0 at half time, but then the Bulldogs had a little bit of a resurgent, scored three tries on the trot, three to order Josh Adokar, in fact, thanks to some brilliance by Viliami Kikau and Matt Burden, to get him over the line a few times. So they took a 14-10 lead into the last 20 minutes of this game, and then Sean Blore, 6 minutes left on the clock, it's a pretty soft try, gets the Storm home 16-14. But massive credit has to go to the Canterbury Bulldogs. Now, I've been really critical of their performances so far this year on the show, especially in their attack and how one-dimensional it seems at times. But you've got to give them credit. While they've still got a lot of issues with their structure and their shape in attack, and the fact that they're relying so much on that left-hand side, and let's be honest, there's a lot of sides that rely on one side of the field, particularly in attack, but the lack of variety and variation is a concern there for the Bulldogs. But the fact that they managed to put three back-to-back tries together against Melbourne in Melbourne, 10-0 down, Bulldogs of former years would completely, I guess, put their heads down, and you know, it could have been 40-0 if this is the Bulldogs side from a year or two ago. So they showed some real grit. They've showed grit all year, and there's improvement definitely across the board to the fact where they're probably the better side on Friday and couldn't get the 2 points against Melbourne. But it shows you the continued development and the rebuild that is going on at Canterbury under Cameron Serrato. Melbourne escaped with one. They didn't play their best football, and I still think that the spine, despite the fact that, you know, they're some of the absolute superstars in this game, the likes of Papahias and Green, Munster and Hughes, they all haven't played a huge amount of football with each other as a unit for a long time. So I think they're still finding their footing. The forward pack lacking a little bit of punch with the younger players out there. So they get Nelson Asofa Solomona this week back with, unfortunately, the Kemi Kamiki injury. So I think you add a lot of grunt and experience up front for Melbourne. I think that's something they're desperately missing at the moment. The second Friday night game was the Brisbane Derby, so to speak. It was the Brisbane Broncos 28-14, dominant victors over the Dolphins. Now, unfortunately for the Dolphins, a lot of injuries in this one. Flegler didn't line up. I think Donoghue was still out, and 2 or 3 minutes into the game, we saw the hammer go down. Tabuai Fadeau with a serious hamstring injury, which will keep him out for 4 to 6 weeks. So, unlucky breaks there for the Dolphins, and with Reece Walsh back on deck, I think the Broncos look really good. I think that Ezra Mam, in my opinion, definitely had, you know, close to his best game this season again. He stepped up 2 weeks ago, and I thought he had another impressive game out there on the weekend. Some of the young forwards are really impressive as well. The likes of Willison really stepped up with his improved minutes. I like what I saw from him. Jordan Ricci had a good game as well, and Carrigan led by example. So a really improved effort by the Broncos. Jock Madden in that half-back position without Adam Reynolds was, I guess, really reliable and kept, you know, the kicking game was really steady by him, and he just added composure to the outfit that probably hasn't been there all year round. So really improved effort by the Broncos, and they look like a different team every time they play at Suncorp. They were so hard to beat up there, and the Dolphins had their chances in this one, but with the early injury to the hammer and the fact that they were missing a few, it's, you know, just kind of similar to 2023 at the moment, where they've started the year off really hot, some big expectations on the club, but it's just a matter of whether they have the depth, and if they get some injuries, whether they can withstand those and, you know, make a run at the back end of the year, potentially make their first finals appearance. So Broncos on the up, and Dolphins have got some questions to answer after Friday night. The Super Saturday games, some really good games of football. I think all three games, you know, the result could have gone either way. At 3 p.m., we saw the Warriors and Manly fight it out to a 22-all draw. Now, Manly were the better side for 75 minutes in this game. And they're up 22-14. Now, it's a really good physical game of football. I really like the expansive style that Manly continued to play. I think Cherry Evans was absolutely outstanding. Two tries, a really controlled kicking game. He was everywhere. And like we've seen several times this year, in the second half, I just thought Manly clocked off a little bit. You know, it's either... They either seem to be, you know, premiership heavyweights and potential premiers, or they seem to be, you know, bottom of the ladder at any point in any game. I mean, 2-3 weeks ago, we saw them really struggle against the Dragons, and then last week we saw them beat Penrith. They were winning 14-0 against Parramatta about a month ago and couldn't close that game out either. So they're just rocks or dimes. When it goes right, that high-risk style enterprising football, it goes really right for them. But then... You know, they clock off, let a couple soft tries in, and generally weak around the middle, in the middle portion of games. The consistency has to be better, my Manly. And the fact that they're winning 22-14 with 5 minutes to go, and then, well, I think it was with a minute and a half to go, and the Warriors end up taking the golden point due to a controversial penalty. No doubt about that. But the fact that, you know, the Warriors even clawed their way back into that position after the DWZ try and got down there and got in a position to tie the game. If you're Anthony Seaboard, you've got to be really happy with the start of the year and the performance of Manly and all the positives they've shown, but it shows the work that's still got to be done. And for the Warriors, it's kind of the same deal. I mean, they can look fantastic at portions, but I think they're really badly beaten off the punch to start this game. You know, the Manly got out to a 16-0 lead. The Warriors struggled to compete their sets. They showed a lot of fight to get back into the game in the second half, but they've just got to be more consistent and... you can't be giving teams a lead like that and then expect them to chase it down and get the 2 points. They both managed to get one, and I'm sure both teams will move on. And I just think the quality of that game is really high, and both these sides will be in the mix in the back end of the season at this trajectory at this point of the year. The second game of Super Saturday saw Parramatta 27 victors over the Cowboys 20. I tipped the Cowboys in this game. I thought that the Eels without Mitchell Moses, I've spoken on this show the last few weeks, where I think he's the most influential player in rugby league, and you know, the way that he leads this side, Parramatta look lost without him, and Dylan Brown has had his opportunities in that 7 jersey to make that jersey his own. I thought he's improved this weekend, but they're still missing him, no doubt about it. But they just looked like they were up for this one from the kickoff. Parramatta in front of their home crowd. They came to play. Guffson was outstanding. I think their forwards really set up a real platform, and I think Dejan Arce really helped Dylan Brown's game. Took the pressure off him. He wasn't afraid to get in and control the game as well, and he picked his moments to run. So I thought that Dejan Arce probably had one of his best games in first grade last weekend, and you know, he iced the game with the field goal at the end to take a 7-point lead. Cowboys, very disappointing. I think their forward pack really struggled to get into the game, and you know, they can score plenty of points. They've got plenty of talent when you've got the likes of Holmes and Drinkwater and Dearden. You're always going to be a threat with the football. But yeah, I feel like sometimes the Cowboys are a little bit too pretty. They're not in games to do the hard work and win that middle of the field in the ruck to really earn the right to play razzle dazzle football. They want to score on every play at certain points, and you know, you got to have a certain amount of grit if you're going to win the competition and be a contender. So I think the Cowboys, you definitely got to improve in that regard. The 7:30 Saturday game, we saw the Sharks 34 over the Rabbitohs 22. And, you know, I had a passionate plea as a Rabbitohs fan last week on the show. I just wanted effort and improved performance and just put some pride back in the jersey. And I think they did that, despite the fact they went down 12 points. You know, they were down to one man on the interchange bench with, you know, over 40 minutes left in the game, and they really fought hard in the game. They were ultimately outclassed by a Sharks team that, you know, had some impressive performances. Hines controlled the game well, and their forward pack weren't afraid to get dirty in the middle. And how amazing is the other wingers, Mulitalo and Katoa, were both outstanding in this game, real meter eaters. And Renato Mulitalo in particular was an incredible game by him. 2 tries, a try assist. Brilliant stuff. But for the Rabbitohs, I mean, they pretty much saved Demetrio's job, at least for a few weeks. The performance that some of these young players that were given an opportunity in the grade put in, like Jai Gray in his debut, Peter Memazalis coming in for Damien Cook, who had controversially been dropped that week, and even Dean Hawkins, I thought, all probably had their best games in first grade. For Jai Gray, it was his debut, obviously. But they looked really up for the game, and despite the fact they lost so many men. You know, they fought hard. I still think they're lacking something, a bit of punch in the forward pack. Tom Burgess was enormous, but and the solar injury definitely hurt them, but they're lacking a bit of punch. They need some more fire through the middle of the field. And defensively, they're still leaking a lot of points. So they've got the bye this week, the Rabbitohs. They find themselves 1 win, 5 losses to this point of the season. And regardless of who's coach, and I'm sure we all agree that Wayne Bennett's probably going to coach the club in 2025 at this point. And I think that's certainly a positive thing for CF Sydney, by the way, as a Rabbitohs fan. There's got to be some sort of... like, obviously, the effort was there on the weekend, but there's got to be some sort of turnaround to make something of this season, because if we're just waiting for Wayne Bennett to come in and save the club in 2025, then and it's going to be a long 2024. So, you know, I know that they've had a few out. Latrell Mitchell's obviously suspended, and there's always the conversation in the media how to get the best out of him, particularly with his, you know, hot and cold form that he always has provided since getting to the club, and the fact that he's been suspended so many times and injured so many times. There's a lot of questions still to be answered at CF Sydney, but at least the effort was much improved on the weekend. And in the Sunday afternoon games, we saw the Dragons 24 over the Tigers 12. I definitely think this was the game that had... that was the toughest to watch for me, the most errors. The Dragons were good in patches, don't get me wrong. I think Lomax has had an outstanding season. I really think that he's becoming a New South Wales bolter, especially in that wing position. I wouldn't pick him in the centres for the Blues, but I think he's definitely a shot in the wing, considering our limited winger options. I thought he was outstanding, particularly now that he's got his future sorted and he's gone to Parramatta. Jack Bird, I think, had his best game of the season so far, despite that injury late in the piece and with the concussion and the fact that they tried to get it overturned. I thought he was impressive when he was on the field. But for me, the best player for St. George was Jaden Sewer. I think that, you know, when he's at his best, you know, he's a real talented forward and he can really be a game breaker for the club. He was outstanding at South Sydney. He's been great when he's been on for the field for the Dragons. But, you know, Hunt and Flanagan were good. Obviously, they probably didn't control the game as well as you'd like to see. But the Tigers, with the 5 day short turnaround, they just seemed to be lacking punch from kickoff. They just didn't seem like they were up for it and up to do the hard work. They kept it close to their credit. And, you know, fought back late in the piece. But, yeah, you could just see that, I don't want to say effort areas, but that motivation, they weren't up for the contest with that short turnaround. So, disappointing for them, but I think that's pretty much how their season's going to go all year. They're going to be up for some weeks, and it's going to be tough to get them in the contest in others. So, Dragons take 2 points, and, you know, 3 out of 6 for them is a fantastic start, considering a lot of people predicted them for the Wooden Spoon. The final game of round 6 was the Raiders getting out of the jail 21-20 in an 89-minute thriller against the Gold Coast Titans. Just like that Warriors-Manly game, the Raiders were in control for the majority of this game. You know, they hopped away to an 8, but what was it, a 10-point lead late before 2 calm Pereira tries in the last 5 minutes took it to the golden point. Now, if you're a Titans fan, you got to really admire the effort. I know there's been a war of words between Daz Hazard and Ricky Stewart this week over the penalty count, but I think that the Titans definitely pushed the limits in that regard a number of times. Fifita definitely had his best game of the season so far. I think that the Titans looked a lot better with Brimson in the halves. Obviously, Tanner Boyd made way for Brimson to do that shift, and Campbell now is injured, unfortunately, at the fullback, so they're going to have to, you know, shift some guys around this week again. But yeah, looked a lot better with the football. Foran was improved. For me, you know, some of these bigger bodies for the Raiders, Tarpon over 200 metres, Timiko over 200 metres, Chevy Stewart in his debut over 200 metres, and just the forward pack in general, Young, Smithies, all had really good games. A lot of big metres, and through the middle of the field, they found a lot of success. So, a lot of improvement from the Titans in terms of effort, but they're still, you know, letting teams get in their half way too easily, and you know, if they're going to be soft in the middle, then I think teams are going to expose it all year. And unfortunately, the Titans are 0-6 now. They've got a really tough month of footy coming up. So it could be a while, unfortunately, before the Titans get their first win. But if you're Daz Hasler and if you're a Titans fan, you've got to be impressed with the effort. At least, you know, they're in the contest. And, you know, down by 10, they could have really, I guess, drifted away from that contest. But they showed some grit, go back in the fight, and you know, as a fan of a football club, even if you are struggling, like my side, the Rabbitohs, are at the moment, all you want is effort, and both the Rabbitohs and the Titans, despite the fact that under so much pressure and struggling, they both provided effort on the weekend. So that was my round six recap. And as I said, I think that teams are still jostling their way through positions, and we don't really have a true indication of what sides are really at the top of the pecking order at the moment, apart from your usual suspects like Penrith, but even though they've lost a few games recently. So, yeah, I think we're still definitely in a period of the year where upsets are going to be plenty, and we'll see if there's many this weekend in round seven. I'm sure it's rugby league. It's unpredictable. Anything can happen in any week. So let's get to our round seven tips now, and the action all starts this Thursday night. All right, guys, the start of round seven could open with a massive blockbuster at Allianz Stadium, 7:50 Thursday night. It's the Sydney Roosters going up against the Melbourne Storm. The Roosters, massive in James Tedesco, their inspirational captain, will return from the concussion that kept him out of last week's win against the Newcastle Knights, a surprise win and a really impressive performance undermanned. Sam Walker's been named in the reserve, so Connor Watson named in the sixth jersey. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Walker be a late inclusion into this Roosters side on Thursday night. They may be cautious with him, having wait another week, but I'm assuming if the concussion protocols were all passed, then he'll be lining up on Thursday night. There's no doubt about it. For Melbourne, unfortunately, Kemba Kamika got injured in their 16-14 win against the Bulldogs last Friday night, but they do welcome back Nelson Asofa Solomona into first grade for the first time this year. He's been biding his time in the Queensland Cup, and I think he's going to be out to make a big statement against, you know, a dominant forward pack from the Roosters. It's going to be a good battle up front. You've got the likes of Hargraves and Collins that lay a great platform for the Roosters, and then the young gun Terrell May's just been coming on and really making inroads in the middle of the field against the opposition. I think Crichton and Butcher have been really good in their stints there in the second row when they've been given the opportunity, and Radley, I think, you know, back to the old Victor Radley when they were winning premierships, I think he's been electric to start the season. So there's no doubt the Storm have got their work cut out for them in the middle of the field, and Nelson Asofa Solomona will add that added experience. But I think that, you know, if there's one area, one major area of concern for the Storm this year and last year during this extent as well, is that it's the, while they've got a fast young forward pack, they're lacking that experience. They can clock off in games. They're not the most consistent forward pack in the world. So I think the onus has got to come down to some of these young leaders in the side, like Josh King and Eli Katoa, Trent Lerero, really to, you know, be consistent, continue to take the pressure, you know, off the side with some big carries out there in half in the middle of matches. Their bench is also, you know, a very young bench, with the exception of Christian Welsh, who can come on and add some leadership as well. So I think that the leaders need to step up in the forward pack for the Storm. Their playmakers probably haven't been in sync totally this year. Papahiasen's still finding his feet after a few injury-ravaged seasons. Cameron Munster obviously has had the groin issue this year. Him and Hughes, you know, is a work in progress. Hughes has been, you know, enormous in the performances that he's had to start the season, but him and Munster, I think, could gel a little bit better. And Harry Grant really doesn't seem like he's gotten out of first gear this year. So I think that's a warning sign for every other competition, team in the competition, is that I don't think Melbourne are playing anywhere close to their best brand of football, and they find themselves close to the top of the table with only one loss to their name. They're 4-1 to start the season. So, you know, if they can put it together, I think they can really take it to this Roosters side. But for me, the fact that, you know, the Roosters played so well in those effort areas, those one percenters against the Newcastle Knights, and really out-of-foosed them in the middle of the field, I think we're going to be in for a blockbuster game. I honestly do on Thursday night. I really give the Roosters a real chance at home. Robson knows how to get his side up against Melbourne. He's got a pretty good record against the Storm. I don't know. I'm just feeling like we could potentially be seeing an upset on the cards on Thursday night. I really do. I think that this Roosters side really improving week by week, and for the Storm, I want to see a little bit more cohesion by some of these leaders in the side. They need to be better consistently. I think that the Dogs really exposed them last weekend in that second half, and, you know, they clocked off a little bit. The Storm thought they were home 10-0 up, and they really found themselves, you know, locked in a grind and locked in a real battle to get the 2 points. So, for mine, if I compare these sides at the moment, the Roosters and their young forward pack, mixed with the experience they've got, they're handling it better than the lack of experience in that Melbourne forward pack, and I think that's going to be the difference Thursday night. So I'm actually going the Roosters. A little bit of an upset to start round 7, but I think the Roosters can win. I've got them by 4 points, and if you ask for a value bet, I'll bring them back this week because I haven't done them consistently this year, but I think that Daniel Tupou, anytime try scorer, I think he's only about $2, but the form that he's been in the last few weeks, real resurgent at the back end of his career, I think that he'll be good for one on Friday night. I think that the Storm's outside backs had some real issues against, you know, Kikau and Co last week, including Meaney, who I really rated as player, but even Warbrick and Rayner Smith as well. I think that they got a little bit exposed, so I expect an improved performance, but I think that the Roosters can really take advantage, and I think Tupou could be an anytime try scorer. So Roosters by 4 for me in an upset, with Tupou scoring anytime. The Dragons back home in Wollongong on Friday night at 6 p.m. from Wind Stadium. They're hosting the New Zealand Warriors. Their first game at Wind Stadium in 2024 is a resounding dominant victory for the underdog Dragon side against the Manly side. It was almost sold out, especially on the hill. It was packed there in Wollongong. I expect a similar atmosphere here in the Warriors game. The 6 p.m. game could, you know, mean there's some latecomers to the game, but I think that the fact that the Dragons are up, they've won 3 out of 6 games, and they've really shown fight in a lot of their games this year, I think it's going to be a big atmosphere at Wollongong for the travelling Warriors. They could be walking into a little bit of an ambush, to be honest. So, yeah, I think the Dragons were really impressive in patches against the Tigers. They still made a lot of errors, and they can make life hard for themselves, but they were up in those effort areas last week, and, you know, they seem to back up a win traditionally, however, this year with a very disappointing next week performance. There in round 1, they were really great, really dominant against the Titans, big 28-4 winners. They came out the next week, got flogged by the Dolphins. Then they came out, big upset victory at home against Manly in Wollongong. Backed that up with a very disappointing performance against Newcastle in admittedly torrential conditions. Last week, they were up for the game against the Tigers. If we follow that trend, winning 2 in a row is a real challenge for them. I think they might be a little bit down this week. Even though they got the win on Sunday, it's a bit of a short turnaround for them. The Warriors, on the other hand, they really put everything they had into crawling, whatever word you want to use, down from 8-point deficit in the last 2 minutes to take that game to Golden Point against Manly last week. The 90-minute performance by them would have, and the efforts they put in those 90 minutes probably would have exhausted them. Now they've got to come over to Australia. They're traditionally not great travellers. So, you know, I think this game could, in terms of quality, could be a lot of errors in the football. The Warriors didn't start well last week. They'll be hoping for an improved performance in their effort areas to start the game. But the Dragons, as I said, they're usually good at Wind Stadium. I think they've got a good record against the Warriors at this venue. I think it's closer than a lot of people are going to expect it to be, but I think that the Warriors, when they're on, are real heavyweight in this competition, and Sean Johnson and Martin, their partnership's growing every week. They've looked, you know, a lot more dangerous in those in the opponent's 20 with Nickel Hodgson back at fullback, and RTS doing his thing in the centres is a real threat. I think Rocco Berry's one of the most improved players in the game this year. Jackson Ford's been really impressive on an edge as well. Their forward pack, Fanua, Blake and Barnett, you know what you're going to get. You're going to get real hard work, grind, 1 or 2 carries a set out of those guys. They're not going to be afraid to do the hard work. And sometimes I question the Dragons' forward pack to really do, you know, those ugly runs that, you know, they're going to be tough carries out of your own half. I know the Warriors' forwards would do it, but, you know, I think the onus is really on the likes of Fatila Marinar and Molo to really step up and give, you know, the likes of Sua and Saleh some help, and DeBellin off the bench and Blake Laurie off the bench. They've got to have that impact and really continue that momentum, that those starting forwards lay that platform for early in the piece, hopefully. But yeah, if I look at the consistency of these two sides, I don't think either side's got a huge amount of it. Don't get me wrong, the Dragons have been impressive in the games they've turned up for, and I think they're going a lot better than a lot of people have predicted them this year, and Lomax has gone to another level in terms of his carries and his effort areas. But for me, I think that it's going to be tough to back it up. I think the Warriors when they're up, they're really up for games, and who knows how this is going to go after that, you know, 90-minute game last weekend. But they might be a little bit slow to start, but I think they'll be able to do enough to get the 2 points against a pretty valiant Dragon side. If you're Shane Flanagan this week, you just want to see that continued progress in terms of effort and the ability to be a little bit more consistent than they've showed in the opening six rounds. They're up 1 week, down the other. You want to be up 2 weeks in a row, but I think the Warriors are just a little bit too classy for the Dragons here, so I've got the Warriors by 10 points on Friday night in a game that I think, while it'll be scrappy, will be a lot closer than a lot of people think. The 8 p.m. Friday game is a little bit of a different environment for these sides. It's up there at Darwin in the Northern Territory. The Eagles usually take a home game there a year. It's Parramatta versus the Dolphins, and the Eagles, they definitely had an improved performance last weekend against the Cowboys, despite the fact they're still missing their inspirational halfback Mitchell Moses. I think that Brown and Gufson really controlled the game well and had their most complete game since the Moses injury. Their forward pack really laid a platform early, and overall you just knew they were up for that contest in front of their home crowd at Combank. Now, traditionally, even though they you know, play more than majority of teams up of games up there at Darwin, the heat can sometimes get to the bigger forwards of Parramatta, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle the climate on Friday night in this game against the Dolphins. But it's a very winnable game for Parramatta, especially when you look at the Dolphins lineup. They're, you know, injury depleted, unfortunately, already at this point of the season. They do have a debutant, I believe, in the name of Kurt Fuller, in the fullback jersey. Maybe he's played a game at the bench, but this is definitely his first game starting. With the injury to the hammer, Tabuai Fadeau last weekend and the early changes in that game against the Broncos, you know, he had so much for their attack. They looked a little bit lost without him when they had the football in his hands. Nick Green and Toa have done a good job in the halves this year, but their forward pack even looking a little bit depleted in itself, and they've got a lot of experience there. There's no doubt about it, but you just look at this Dolphin side and you can see potential and you can see, you know, some of these veterans in there, but it's just lacking a bit of punch for me at the moment. And I think that the Hammer's so influential when they've got the 4-point hand that he adds a real threat that I don't think's really existing in the side otherwise. I think Jack Bostock's been really good this year, but you've got to be able to get the ball out wide to him. He's got to come in looking for some carries early in sets. He's been great at that. And obviously, Sarko's really good with the 4-point hand, but no Herbie, no Flegler, no Hammer. I think it's going to be another tough night for the Dolphins. Obviously, they've got a little less travel for this game than Parramatta do. And, you know, Parramatta, I said, the climate and adjusting to it can be tough for them. But the Dolphins, they're an older football side. They're on, you know, tired legs at points of the season. They've also got to adjust to that heat up there, especially at this time of the year, even though it's getting a little bit colder and we're heading into the winter months. I still imagine it'll be a really hot environment up there in Darwin. So I think Parramatta can build on what they did last week. The Dolphins, I think that, you know, there'll be plenty of effort. There usually is from Wayne Bennett coach sides, but I just don't think they've got enough points in them to really challenge Parramatta, who I think everybody can admit are hot and cold. But I think they've got enough points in them to handle a Dolphins side that is really lacking an X factor, a strike player with the injury to the Hammer, unfortunately, and then Herbie Farnworth as well. So I've got Parramatta in this game. Interesting 8 p.m. game, but yeah, I've got Parramatta by 12 points. I think they can adjust to the climate better. And, you know, you look at speed and you look at youth, I think that Parramatta are the more exciting side on paper, and without some of the real attacking weapons of the Dolphins, they can they will struggle to score points, and they might even struggle to remain competitive in this game against Parramatta on Friday night. It could very well be more than 12. So, yeah, we'll see how we go. I think if we're looking for a special in this game, I really like what I saw from Dejan Arcee. I think he is an anytime try scorer hope. If you want to make it a little bit more spicy, I think that Sean Russell's been really good this year as well. I think an Arcee-Russell double in a multi, both of them score a try each, I think could be some good value. You probably get you about $6 or $7. So, that's my prediction. The Eels by 12, and if you want some anytime try scorers, I think Arcee and Russell both have one in them this week. You guys know what time of the week it is. It's Super Saturday, my favourite time of any rugby league weekend. And the action this weekend, the three big games coming your way. It starts at 3 p.m. from Carrington Park up there at Bathurst, when the Penrith Panthers take on the West Tigers, and Penrith have taken a cautious approach when it comes to Nathan Cleary. There was reports that he had a training setback and he wasn't going to be fully right for this weekend. Now, for all respect to the West Tigers, are you risking Nathan Cleary in a round 7 game against a team that's probably not going to be a premiership contender? And the fact that the Penrith are in a pretty good position ladder-wise, I wouldn't be rushing Nathan Cleary back. And without him, I think that despite the fact they went down to Manly in their last game a fortnight ago, I think it's been simple stuff from Penrith, and it's really been effective this year. They make real inroads in the middle of the field like they always have, and, you know, Fish, Harris, Leota, they really lay a platform early with the bench players like Henry and Lindsay Smith really making inroads and continuing that momentum, just bashing their way through sides. And then when they get down in that, you know, opposition's end, they've got Martin and Sorensen and Yo as a link man really to get it to the halves, and they spread it out and score points out wide. It's simple football, but it's really hard to stop when you've got such effective forwards that are doing so much hard work out there. I think Luai should definitely, you know, roam both sides of the field. I think they've got to get away to get Brian Toe, the damaging footy finisher that he is and the footy player he is, more involved in the game. He's always good for 200 metres, but I think that they can use him a little bit better, and Cleary's really good at doing that. Dylan Edwards is such a vital piece of this puzzle, though. His kick returns and the fact that he gets, you know, 300 metres almost every single game, you know, it's such a valuable component. I think Snyder's done a good job. I want to see Luai run the football a little bit more, but overall it's business as usual for Penrith. They're clinical. They know exactly how to tie teams out and win football games, and for the Tigers to be competitive in this one, they've got to be a lot better than they were last Sunday against the Dragons and even the week before against the Dolphins. I think they've kind of struggled to keep that momentum that they had at those early two wins early in the season. And they've definitely missed the young kid, Lachlan Gowan, who's back this week. But their forward pack, even though they're highly experienced, you know, you've got Clemmer, who escaped suspension last week somehow. Stefano's got experience now. Papali, Bateman, Abby Corris out of dummy half, plenty of experience, premiership winner for the club that he's versing this week. They've got experience in the NRL, but having experience is one thing, and managing to shut down the ruthless forward rotation that Penrith have that's coming at you for 80 minutes is another, and I think that the Tigers are really going to struggle in that area this week. I think that they're going to struggle to get down Penrith's side of the field in general, and I think Penrith can be big winners in this game. Now, unfortunately for the Tigers, I think that some weeks they'll be really up, and some weeks they're really going to struggle, and I think this is a week they're going to struggle. I've got Penrith by 30, and honestly, if Cleary was playing, it could be a lot more, but I think that Edwards will star again. Fisher, Harris, and Leota are going to make so much chaos in that middle of the field and really tire out some of these big Tigers forwards, and then the half and Edwards would do the rest, and I think it could get ugly, this one, to kickstart Super Saturday, to be honest. I've got Penrith by 30. I think Luai's got to try on him here, so he's an anytime try scorer for me. I think he's going to run the football a little bit more this week. At least I want him to. So, Penrith by 30 against the West Tigers, unfortunately for Tigers fans. Super Saturday continues at 5:30 from Cbus Super Stadium when the Gold Coast Titans come up against the Manly Seagulls. Obviously, the Gold Coast side still without a win in 2024. Their effort was there in the game against the Raiders. They just couldn't finish it off despite a good late comeback. I think they improved, however, especially in terms of with the football in hand, bringing some closer to the ball and partnering with Foran, who went to that halfback position, I think paid off overall. Unfortunately, in the process, Campbell did get injured at fullback, so Philip Semmy will line up there this week. Khan Pereira and Jojo Fifita in the wing positions. Their forward pack wasn't much improved as well. I thought Joliffe, he obviously got rewarded with a try, but I thought he was outstanding last week. Still want to see a little bit more from Mo Fodawaker. I think that, you know, with the experience he brings, he needs to really step up and help some of these young forwards out. Fifita definitely had his best game of 2024 as well. The effort's there if you're a Titans supporter at the moment, but unfortunately they remain winless. So Des Hasler's got to find a way to get it done. And, you know, what better motivation is there for him to have his side up for this contest than versus the side that he had a very controversial exit from, his old club, the club that he's won two premierships as a coach for and multiple as a player as well. The Manly Sea Eagles, who, you know, they were well in control of that game against the Warriors. They end up slipping at the back end of the game, and you know, they got away with 1 point after a 90-minute draw. And, you know, as I said, I've said it multiple times already on this show, sometimes they look like they're premiership favourites merely, and other times they look like they're going to miss the top eight altogether. They're a highly inconsistent football side. They're brilliant with the football in hand when they're at their best. And, you know, Tommy and Luke Brooks, I still think they've got plenty of improvement to make, but, you know, the fact that they've been able to come back into this football side, Tom from injury and Brooks as a new arrival, so seamlessly, really speaks to the quality and class of some of these players in the Manly Seagulls side, and really the quality of Cherry Evans as the leader. He's outstanding last week. He's the real leader at this football club and knows how to control the game really well, and, you know, let Brooks and Turbo pick their moments. Their forward pack, while they've been good this year, I think they have to be a lot better, a lot more consistent, especially defensively. They do get Matt Lodge starting this week. I think they've got a few injury dramas there. And Alloway is also suspended after that late controversial hit on Sean Johnson. But, you know, really, when you look at the firepower that this Manly side has, they should prove too much for Gold Coast, despite the fact that Gold Coast are going to be hardworking and going to be really competing for every play in this game. You look at the sides on paper and Manly just outclass them, especially if Tom Turbo and Luke Brooks can really have an on day and, you know, be at their electrifying best. I feel like they've got way too many points in them for this Gold Coast Titans side. But then you look at Manly and you see some of these poorer efforts, especially defensively, and the fact that they clock off and make some simple errors. I think the Titans can expose them if they're good enough. If the Titans come out to see Bus with more enthusiasm and a real ability to work hard and every component of the game and do the 1%ers right and really turn up for each other defensively, I think there could be a massive upset. I think that the Titans are certainly capable and Manly's hot and cold form could really continue. But if you're a Manly side, you just want to see 80 minutes of consistent football, and I don't think we've seen it this year as brilliant as they have been. So, yeah, for me, I think that the pressure's on Manly a little bit in this game to show that they can be a heavyweight, and it's a game they are expected to win. And, you know, despite the fact that Gold Coast are, 0-6 now, or 0-5 in a bye, and, you know, largely Gold Coast is a place that avoids a lot of the rugby league headlines because they're not in the heart of Sydney, and Gold Coast isn't exactly known to be a huge rugby league community. So they've avoided a little bit of pressure. Obviously, every week they lose, there's going to be a little bit more talk around them. But, yeah, I think this is a game they'll be up for, Gold Coast. I think Manly shouldn't underestimate them, but really Manly should have too much firepower for a Titan side that I'm sure will try hard, and Dez will have them up against his old club. But if Manly are anywhere near their best, they should have too many points in them for Gold Coast to contain. So I've got Manly by 16 on Saturday night, but just like I've got Manly by 16, an upset by Gold Coast also wouldn't surprise me in this one. That's how up and down Manly have been this season. And the final game of Super Saturday starts at 7:35 from Suncorp Stadium when the Brisbane Broncos face the Canberra Raiders. Now, the Broncos, different team at Suncorp, but they're versing the Canberra Raiders, who have been outstanding so far in 2023. In my opinion, one of the real surprise packages of the comp so far. A lot of people predicted them bottom four. I think I predicted them at 14th, but they've been outstanding the start of the season. 4 wins, 2 losses. The Broncos, obviously, 3 wins, 3 losses. Brisbane have had a lot of injury concerns, and consistency still remains a question mark over this Canberra Raiders side. They obviously snuck home 21-20 over the Titans last week, while the Broncos bounced back, big win, 28-14 over the Dolphins. So Brisbane heading into this game, obviously Reece Walsh back. He was back last week. He made a big difference to the side. Jock Madden really substituted Reynolds well in that half-back position. He controlled the game well, gave a steady playmaking hand to the Broncos, which they needed, while Ezra Mim, you know, tried to spot a line to run and get his running game, trying to pick his moments there. I think their young forward pack's really been good in the absence of some of their leaders, like Payne Huss, Jensen, Baker, Xavier Willison, all been impressive. So, you know, they're definitely going to be there when the drums roll and late in the piece. But, you know, despite having some of their leaders, like Reynolds and Huss, out at the moment, I think that their performance is improving every week. And the good thing about Brisbane at this point of the year, they've got some real depth by giving some of these young players an opportunity at this point of the season. Their opponents, as I said, Canberra, been a really impressive start to the year. I think they really look good at GIO Stadium, and they've really done a good job at making that a real hard place to win for opposition. They got away with one on a Sunday after really clocking off and letting the Titans back in that game. But you look at the talent, some of these outside backs, and they've really developed in their own this year. I mean, Timiko's had a really good few years. Schiller and Savage have been revelation on the wings for this this side in 2024. The fact that I think Albert Hobwhite is going to struggle to get his spot back from Schiller. Chevy Stewart, impressive debut last week with the injury to Rapana. Strange at 5'8", he's just such a competitor. He'll compete for everything. A really good defender. I think he's got such a bright future in our game, and Fogarty's been really good. So real credit to the halves. The forward pack stepped up as well. A lot of effort, a lot of simple football from Ricky Stewart, but a lot of hard workers that he has in their their side. There's no real superstar to the team, but a lot of players that are going to give you 100%, which is really what you want out of a first grade side like Canberra, who struggled to attract talent. It's all been hard work so far this year, which is impressive to see. But this week, heading up to Suncorp, always a difficult ask. I think that Brisbane, I think that they're going to be a real contender at the back end of the season. And I think that home crowd advantage adds so much to this game. Walsh will be the main threat, and I think they're going to struggle to shut him down. They got some outside backs as well that are really exciting. So I think it's going to be a good battle on the edges. But I think Brisbane's edges, a little bit more experience out there. So I'm going to go Broncos in this one. I think it'll be a close game, but I've got Brisbane by 6. I just think at Suncorp, a little bit more experience, despite the fact they've got some younger players in those outside back positions, and the X factor that is Reece Walsh. Canberra will compete really hard and be really competitive in this one, but I just think the Walsh X factor, home crowd Suncorp, Brisbane just a little bit too good. I've got the Broncos by 6 points to end Super Saturday this week. The Sunday afternoon football starts at 2 p.m. this week. They're back to a 2-4 schedule. That's how I like my Sunday afternoon football, the earlier start with daylight savings coming to an end. The Canterbury Bulldogs versus the Newcastle Knights is the 2 o'clock game from a core stadium. The Bulldogs went down narrowly 16-14. To the Storm last Friday night, where the Knights are a little bit disappointing in their defeat at home against the understrength Roosters side, 22-20. I really like the Bulldogs in this game, I've got to be honest, and I've been critical of the Bulldogs' one-dimensional attack a lot this season, and how I think they're really just the side, when you look at it, it's just not their forward pack obviously lacking a lot of punch. Are they halfbacks, halves? A lot of question marks around them, but one thing you can't fault is the effort, and you know, their defensive structures have really been improved. Serrato's worked a lot with them, with the side, to make it hard for opposition to score points, and certainly show off the performances on the field. I think you've got to give the Bulldogs credit at this point for how they've been able to set their footy up, and obviously their two wins this year, not exactly convincing. I mean, they dominated the Titans, but the Titans haven't won a game, and they barely beat a Rooster side that had 12 men for the majority of that contest, and multiple of their stars out via HIA. But despite the fact that it's all not coming together, when they've got the football in hand, the effort's there, and it's what I like to see when I watch teams play on the weekend. And I think they're competing harder and looking more enthusiastic than the poor Newcastle Knights at the moment, who, if I'm one of their supporters, I'm really disappointed with how the season's gone so far. Considering how well they ended 2023, their attack seems to be totally dependent on Caelan Ponga. Now, Hastings has been good since he's come back into first grade, but I think him and Cogger, that combination, still not exactly controlling the game of football. Their forward back's pretty strong up front, and there's definitely moments in the game where you're like, well, Newcastle can run away with this when you watch them every week, but they just struggled to manage to get points on the board a little bit like the Dogs. I think their defence, though, can leak points, and I think the Bulldogs are a much stronger defensive outfit. So for me, the Bulldogs, I think, are very attractive this week, and the Knights have got some questions to answer. They need more than just Ponga to be able to score points. Their defence needs to be stronger up the middle of the field. Brayley's definitely straightened the attack up a little bit, but obviously not a lot of footy in his legs last year, so he's got a lot of players running at him, and with how, I guess, shaky their defence has been, especially their edge defence as well, the Knights, if you've got kick out into open space, I think you can really break this game wide open. So I think an upset's on the cards. I really like what I'm seeing from the Bulldogs effort-wise. I think this one might be a low scorer, to be honest. I said Newcastle's going to leak points, but I don't think the Bulldogs are great at scoring him. So I'm going to have the Bulldogs in a little bit of an upset here. I don't have too much to say about this one. But I think that if I look at the sides, the Bulldogs' defensive structure is better. And they're playing with more effort at the moment than the Knights. And when you get an outing, Foo's never a good thing. So I think Newcastle really needs to take a hard look at themselves. Look at what they did right at the back end of last year. And don't try to emulate that, but try to build to that. Week by week, you've got to see improvement. And I don't think we're seeing that at the moment in Newcastle. I feel like it's all very reliant on one player with football in hand. And defensively, they're a weak, mentally defensive side, unfortunately. So, yeah, I've got the Bulldogs in this one. I've got the Bulldogs by 8. I think that the special is the Bulldogs 1-12. I think you get about $3 to $4 for that one. And, yeah, I think they're a real chance. And I think that this is going to be a win that they've been building to for the last 3 to 4 weeks with their effort areas. So, yeah, the Bulldogs by 8 for me against the Knights. And in the final game of round 7, it kicks off at 4:05 p.m. on Sunday afternoon between the Cronulla Sharks and the North Queensland Cowboys. One of the more intriguing games of the weekend. Cronulla, they did enough to beat a understrength Rabbitohs side and underbanned Rabbitohs side last weekend, 34-22, while the Cowboys went down to the Eels 27-20. Both of these sides extremely inconsistent. We know that they can both score plenty of points when they're on with the football in hand. Cronulla are really good usually at points bet as well. But both are really inconsistent. And, you know, Cronulla had a great start to the year. Don't get me wrong, in terms of wins, they sit on top of the ladder with 4 out of 5 wins so far. But I've yet to see anything that closely resembles an 80-minute performance from them. I don't think Nico's playing the expansive style of football that he once did. And, you know, I think that times that him and Trindle's kicking game can leave a little bit to be desired. In their defence, they've done a really good job while missing several key forwards. And I think Will Kennedy is really a game break for him at the back. Some of the young players like Iroh out on the edges have been really well. So Tione Katoa's out this week, so he will... there's a young kid that's going to make his debut. I believe his name's Stone Street. Katoa's good for 200 metres. Him and Renato Mulitalo, two of the most important players in this side at the moment with the amount of metres they're making. Both over 250 a game on the wings to start sets for Cronulla. So there's no doubt Katoa's going to be a big loss. And, you know, despite the fact that 4-1, I feel like I'm broken record because I say this almost every year, but I'm just not convinced by what I'm seeing from Cronulla at the moment. And likewise, really not convinced about what I'm seeing from the Cowboys. So who have also had a good start, you know, 4 wins, 2 losses. But, yeah, I don't know what to make of them. Sometimes they're afraid to get in and do the hard work as well. Their forward pack's got some veterans like Tamalolo and McLean, but also got some inexperience as well. So they need to be better through the middle, the Cowboys. There's no doubt about it. If they can get in, you know, the opposition's 20, then they've got the weapons to score plenty of points. Holmes, Drinkwater, Dearden. It's really, you know, Drinkwater's side when it comes to the attack. And Dearden's definitely really improved as a leader overall since taking that captaincy. But yeah, I just want consistency from both of these sides. It's a really hard game to gauge because you just don't know what Sharks you're going to get and what Cowboys you're going to get each week. Now, neither of these sides are going to be flogged, I can tell you that. And usually they're in the contest. But sometimes, you know, you just get a low completion rate. You get some soft tries conceded. And both of these sides got plenty of talent on paper. It's just about who can be more consistent and what Fitzgibbon and Payton are both going to be looking for, despite the fact that they both won more games than they've lost this year. I mean, they're both near the top of the ladder. You just want to see consistency. And both of these sides, I still stand by it, got a little bit of a reputation for, you know, being flat-track bullies and winning the games they should, but they're versus contender, they kind of go back into their shell a little bit. So, real interesting game, this one. It could go either way. I think it would be really close. I'm going to actually go the Cowboys for the upset. I think that if they can get some quality ball and if their forwards are really up for the fight, which sometimes they aren't, sometimes they aren't, I think they've got more weapons in attack. And I don't want to underestimate how much of a loss Katoa is, how many metres he can add to the side. Mulatalo still did his job. I'm sure the young rookie would do well with his first opportunity in first grade. McInnes has been great for the middle of the field, but yeah, I think that they're going to struggle to get out of their own half with, you know, some forwards still missing, Cronulla, and maybe if the Cowboys can have their fair share of opportunities, they can make the most out of it with so much firepower and X-factor they've got with the football in hand. But honestly, they can leak a lot of points as well. So I'm going to go the Cowboys by a point. I think it's going to be a really tight one. I think the draw, paying about $34, 80-minute draw, we saw two last week. I think we could see another one here, so that's a real outside bet for you guys. But yeah, I got the Cowboys just in this one by 1 point. Of course, the Rabbitohs have the bye, so that is my round 7 tips this week. Little bit of a quicker show. I think we're still going about 45 minutes, but as I said, I think it's really at a point in the season where we're just still trying to see where every team is consistency-wise. And to recap my tips this week, and we'll see how close I get to getting the perfect round. I've got the Roosters upsetting the Storm on Thursday night. Friday night games, I've got the Warriors being too good for the Dragons. The Eels beating the Dolphins in that real hot environment up there in Darwin. Super Saturday, Penrith outclassing the West Tigers. Manly surviving a potential scare against the Gold Coast Titans. Brisbane continuing their uplift in form against the Raiders. A couple upsets on Sunday afternoon football. I've got the Bulldogs upsetting Newcastle in a big boil over, and that will put a lot of pressure on the Knights and Adam O'Brien. And the Cowboys in a very close one against the Cronulla Sharks. Those are my tips for round 7. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show this week. Massive show next week. We're going to be previewing the Anzac games, the traditional Anzac game day games, where I'm out of it at the end of this show. The traditional Anzac Day games, including the Dragons and the Roosters, and this year I think we've got the Warriors and Titans and Rabbitohs in Melbourne, down there in Melbourne as well. So Demetrio's job's probably going to be on the line there next week as well. I might also name my State of Origin team for the Blues if I was picking it at this point of the season. It's very early, but as I heard today, as of today, Origin 1 is only 50 days away, so the talk's going to definitely shift to State of Origin in the coming weeks. But I hope you enjoy your football this weekend, guys. And I'll see you next time on Steve's NRL Footy Tips. Take it easy.